Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I am your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight, as always, joined by my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and special guest, Oliver Sessiger, from researcher from Football Manager and a scout for the Professional Football Scouts Association, as we preview Switzerland and their run to the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. Oliver, I'd like to start out with you and ask you about your ties to Swiss football.
It's pretty easy. I'm, as you said, the head researcher for the Swiss Super League for Football Manager. I am Swiss. I live in Biel, Switzerland, which is a very central town. And I'm a huge fan of Swiss football, especially from the national team for over 25 years now. So I think I'm the man to ask in this case.
And you know, Oliver, jumping into World Cup history, you mentioned 25 years, and that puts us in a perfect spot. But before I mention those last 25 years, I want to even go back a bit further to the World Cup history that they will be into. So, obviously, Switzerland have become one of those countries with a lot of consistency. You know, they've only not made the out of the group stage only four times in their, I believe, 11 times in the World Cup. You know, they made the quarterfinals. They hosted the World Cup, actually, in 1954. But going back to USA 94, you know, when they first qualified for the World Cup in 94 in the United States, you know, then they had that dry spell of not qualifying in the 1998 World Cup in 2002, returned in 2006, made it all the way to the round of 16, only losing to the surprise team of Ukraine on penalties. 2010 also was out of the group stage, despite being the team that beat the eventual champion Spain in the World Cup in the first game. And in 2014, they narrowly lost to Argentina in the round of 16 against Argentina against it was Angel Di Maria who scored that goal. So yeah, it's been a really consistent side over the last few years, Oliver. And I'd just like to ask you, you know, especially given the qualifying process that they've gotten into, and obviously we're going to talk about that a bit further in our qualifying segment, but you know, they're currently sixth rank in the world, and with a couple of months before the World Cup starts, they're currently ahead of other countries in this FIFA ranking, such as Spain, such as France, such as Poland, England, Mexico, Colombia, Uruguay, among other countries. So my first question to you is, do you feel that ranking sixth position is well worth for the Swiss side? Do you feel that's too much, maybe too little? You know how FIFA rankings tend to be a bit of an irrelevance, but I just want your thoughts on that just take real quick.
Yeah, it's too high for me. If we're placed between 10th and 20th, I think we're okay. The reason for this is the Swiss have figured out how FIFA does their rankings. So the less friendlies you play, the more chance you have to be placed high. So if you look at England, they play a lot of friendlies. Switzerland doesn't. So this helps Switzerland to become be placed very high. And also they finished the qualifying with 9 wins out of 10 games. So that helped as well.
Yeah, Joe, and I'll ask you the same thing. It seems a bit weird to really consider Switzerland among the top 10, let alone sixth place. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, you know, and this leads me into the next topic that we like to cover, which is how Switzerland got to the World Cup. And you look at their run through qualification. They only, like Oliver just said, they only lost one match in qualification. That was the loss on the last day of qualifying, too. If I remember correctly, also, this team made it to the round of 16 in the 2016 Euros. So they've been a very consistent side and a winning side. And I know a lot of people don't, you know, there are no huge flashy names on this particular team, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, but they are a solid, consistent team. You know, the one team that comes to mind that for me matches this team quite a bit is a team like Sweden, where they play well as a unit, and they're very experienced together. So I think that type of football really lends itself to a successful team, and I think Switzerland is the epitome of that. So, and I do, like I said, want to jump into qualification here quickly. Because this team was undefeated up until the last day of qualifying, now they needed only a draw to qualify straight to the World Cup, but instead had experienced a 2-0 loss against Portugal on the final day, then having to go into the playoff round where, somewhat controversially, they advance on a 1-0 aggregate over Northern Ireland on a controversial handball to Corey Evans. Oliver, I want to ask you, when you look at their qualification and now leading forward into the World Cup itself, do they lean more on the fact that they were such a successful team in qualifying, or do they lean on the fact that they had to experience a little bit of luck, whether it be a luck of the whistle from the referee, or the way he saw the play happen? to really advance 1-0 over Northern Ireland over 180 minutes?
I think for the players it doesn't matter. This is behind, this is in the past, and they can look forward to the World Cup. For us as fans, I think we are well aware that we were lucky against Northern Ireland, although we always say that we were the better team over those 180 minutes. And we were still a bit mad that we didn't qualify directly because the rule was goal difference above head-to-head, and we knew that we needed a result in Portugal because Portugal had scored more goals against the Minnows, as they say, Faroe Island, Latvia and Andorra. So we're still a bit mad about this, that we didn't manage to qualify directly, although I have to say that Portugal were the better team in that last game of the group. So overall, as a fan, we're still looking back a bit, but as a player, I don't think they're looking back. I think they're looking forward to the World Cup.
Now, Rob, I do want to ask you quickly, because this team, believe it or not, did spread the goals out quite a bit. They had 14 different goal scorers in qualifying, led by Haris Seferovic at Benfica with 4 goals. But looking back, only scoring 1 goal and on a penalty against Northern Ireland, do they need to get more production out of their top players?
I would think so as well, considering that they spread all their goals from those players that you mentioned, you know, Mbolo, Drimmich, and many others. I think that's definitely something that they have to look forward to heading into this really, really tough group, Joe. And that leads me to my next segment, because this is really a really interesting group for a lot of people. You know, they have been drawn in Group E, and real quick, in the order that they'll be playing in, it's going to be against Brazil on the 17th, they'll take on the Serbia on the 22nd, and finish it off against Costa Rica on the 27th. Obviously, 3 very, very tough opponents. And actually, I'm going to start with you, Joe, on this one. Mm-hmm. You know, given the, I think many people want to really put this as a straightforward group for Brazil, and now I think it's going to be a battle between the Swiss, Costa Rica, and Serbia. And you know, we kind of know how Costa Rica play. You know, they were the surprise 4 years ago, and have always been one of the top teams in CONCACAF. Serbia, we definitely know about their team. Maybe perhaps their ranking doesn't say so, but they are really one of the top teams in all of Europe. And obviously Switzerland, you know, with the immense talent that really is just there on the pitch. So I just want your thoughts on this group. And, you know, if you had to pick one game for the Swiss guy that you think might be the toughest one heading into this World Cup, which one is it?
Well, I mean, you know, when you look at the toughest match, of course it's going to be Brazil because of the quality that they have on the pitch is going to be nothing short of incredible. For me, the most important match for them is going to be the Serbia match. Now, Serbia is a team that did win Group D in World Cup qualifying for UEFA. They eliminated technically the Republic of Ireland. They also eliminated Gareth Bale in Wales, who was, you know, performing rather well leading after the Euros. So the Serbian side is going to be very, very difficult to manage, but I think the Serbian match is going to be the most important one. I don't think they can look ahead to Costa Rica quite yet. I know Costa Rica made the big splash in 2014, eliminated Italy, eliminated England, and, you know, everyone wants to make a big deal of Costa Rica, and they are a fantastic side, now an experienced side. But I think that from the Swiss point of view, we can't get ahead of the Serbia matchup. I think that one is the most important. Now, granted, if we manage to steal a point out of the Brazil game, then that is just all the better for them, and maybe doesn't put as much emphasis on that Costa Rica match. But I think the most important match for the Swiss team is going to be Serbia. Oliver, I want to throw that over to you and ask you what you feel is the most important match for Switzerland moving into this this tough group.
I agree with you. It's Serbia. It's the pivotal game, certainly. I think Brazil at first is somewhat of a free game for Switzerland. I mean, if they lose, everybody will say, yeah, we lost to Brazil, which is number one or two in the FIFA rankings. And if we manage to snatch a point, maybe even a win, then all the better. Serbia will be very interesting because I look forward very much to the midfield battle, Nemanja Matic and Sergej Milinkovic-Savic against Granit Xhaka and Denis Zakaria, for example. I look forward to Sivkovic against maybe Ricardo Rodriguez. Those are very interesting battles on the pitch, so Serbia will be crucial. I don't have many experiences with Costa Rica. I know they're consistent performers at the World Cup. They always perform well. So I don't know what to expect from this game, but Serbia certainly is the pivotal game in this group for Switzerland, and if they manage to get a win, I think they should qualify for the next round.
And I like the way you put that term. You know, I think Rob and I have done 26 of these shows so far, previewing 26 different teams. I don't think we've used the term free match so far, and I think it really holds true here because, like you said, the expectation, not so much of Switzerland but of Brazil, is one of getting to the final. And if Switzerland loses to Brazil in that first match, okay, that happens. You know, we expected it. It's Brazil. And it really allows the Swiss team to kind of get their feet under them, you know, traveling over to Russia. You're now on the big stage of the World Cup. Millions upon millions of people are watching. And so what if you lose a 1-0 match or a 2-0 match? It was expected, and it allows you to acclimate yourself. And I think it becomes tougher for a Serbian team who is maybe trying to acclimate themselves against a Costa Rican side that is not, on paper, not nearly as talented, don't you think?
I just saw that Serbia changed their manager this year, so this may be a good... we don't know how they perform under the new manager. But what was the question originally?
Just, is, you know, having the free match and allowing Switzerland to acclimate themselves to being in Russia and the big stage is really a benefit to them, where Serbia doesn't have quite the competition that Switzerland has in that first match.
Yes, Serbia does need to win their first game against Costa Rica to have, I think, a realistic chance to advance. I compare Switzerland's match with Brazil with the one with Spain in 2010, where Switzerland had their first game in South Africa against Spain. There was no pressure for Switzerland. Spain were the reigning European champions, and they beat them. So Switzerland can go into this match with Brazil without any pressure on them, I think. If they don't lose more than two or three goals, that's all right. That's fine for Switzerland.
I agree. Now, I want to focus on the players to watch coming up in this tournament, because I think there's a wonderful host of players on this Swiss side. But for me, the real depth is in the goalkeeper. You have two wonderful goalkeepers based in Germany, in Jan Sommer at Mönchengladbach and Roman Bürki, who is over at Borussia Dortmund. So my question to you is, which goalkeeper will be the one chosen to lead the team in Russia?
Given that everybody's fit, it will be Jan Sommer. He's the number one keeper. He has been for a long time now. It's a bit a pity for Roman Bürki, because he's an excellent goalkeeper. He has his mistakes, but he's an excellent goalkeeper, but he has no chance against Jan Sommer. Also, our number three, Marvin Hitz, also plays in the Bundesliga for Augsburg. He's a very good goalkeeper. I think he was goalkeeper of the year two seasons ago or something like that. And you're right. We have a lot of depth at goalkeeper. And there are also young goalkeepers coming up through the ranks in Switzerland who will then follow the success of Jan Sommer and Roman Bürki later in, let's say, six years maybe.
Okay. Now, is there a player that you would say on this particular Swiss team that maybe is somewhat of an unknown but will have the opportunity to really make a name for himself in this tournament?
It's difficult to say, because most of those players already play in a big league. Dennis Zakarias may be lesser known. He's at Borussia Mönchengladbach. He's playing a very good first season in the Bundesliga. One player that surprised me a lot was Remo Freuler, who went to Atalanta two seasons ago and is now a starter there. But the Swiss players more or less are well known in, because they play in the big leagues. They play in the Bundesliga, the Premier League, in the Serie A, and among other leagues. I think if I had to choose one, it will be Zakaria.
Yeah, definitely. Young 21-year-old, like you had said, over at Mönchengladbach right now. So my last question about the players to watch. Obviously, we all know the quality of Zerdan Shaqiri. And Rob, I want to ask you, how reliant is this Swiss team on Shaqiri and his ability to create that offense for them?
I wouldn't say too reliant, and I'm going to say that just because of the depth that they have. You know, you mentioned players like Brill Embolo, who's doing great at Schalke and has done previously. You know, we're familiar with Sedorich over there in Benfica, Grimmich and Mönchengladbach, Xhaka, you know, great player over there in Arsenal. You know, so I don't think there should be too much reliance on a player like Shaqiri, who actually, if maybe people don't know about this, but, you know, he's only 26 years old. He's about to play his third FIFA World Cup if he is chosen eventually. But that's just incredible. But, yeah, I mean, I think a World Cup like this one will definitely help him, because of course while he is at Stoke and has been up and down throughout his time there, he's still a great player, and I think that, you know, it's a shame that maybe he would have been much more over there at Bayern and that big team. But I feel like this World Cup might be the opportunity to really, you know, raise his stock just because of how great of a player he is, how fast he is, you know, how intelligent he is. I really think this World Cup will really help a player like Shaqiri. I mean, Oliver, I'll ask you the same thing. I mean, what are your thoughts on Shaqiri, especially heading into this World Cup?
He's a bit under pressure because, as it looks right now, Stoke will go down to the Championship. So he needs to secure a new contract. If Stoke goes down, there's no chance he's staying at Stoke. So he plays for a new contract maybe at a bigger club. I think his performances warrant a move to a bigger club. To the national team, Shaqiri is crucial because he's one of the few guys in this team who can beat the man in one-on-one, who can even beat two or three men with a dribbling. Switzerland relies on team spirit, on team football, on passing football, but Shaqiri is the one who can break those lines with a good dribbling, with going past two, three defenders and then making a good pass, maybe cutting inside and shooting with a strong left foot. He's one of those very few players. Another one is Brilliant Bolo, who's already been mentioned. And then that's pretty much it for those kind of players. We don't have many of those good dribblers, those who can beat the man.
No, absolutely. And a really sensational player to watch for the last few seasons. So obviously going into my next step is predictions. Now, obviously, you know, this team is immensely great with depth, with all around, be it goalkeeper, be it defense, midfield, forward as well. But, you know, I just want your thoughts, Oliver, really. I'm like, what to expect from the Swiss side? Because obviously I think we know and we are accustomed to how the Swiss players play all around the world in the top five leagues. But, and of course in the World Cup qualifier, but I just want your thoughts on, you know, what to expect from the Swiss side, be it a playing style or you know, something of a philosophy. And, you know, if you have to give, like, a starting 11 that you feel might manage into this World Cup, what is it?
The playing style is a bit more attacking than when Hitzfeld was our manager. Petkovic tries to keep possession, tries to attack a little bit more. We are lacking a good striker, a goal-scoring striker. Maybe Embolo is the answer, but he's injured right now. It's unsure if he can make it to the World Cup. Would be a shame if he didn't. Seferovic is our number one striker, and he's not a true goal-scorer. What we're doing is usually the defensive midfielder drops behind in between the two central defenders when we're attacking, and the two fullbacks go forward. So we have overload both wings with Shaqiri, Lichtsteiner on the right, Rodriguez, and whoever plays on the left, maybe Mehmedi, maybe Zuber. So we can overload those wings, and Shaqiri can cut inside, and he still has an option to pass on the right side with Lichtsteiner. That's our primary playing style. As for an 11, I'm sure Sommer will start in goal. On the right side is Lichtsteiner, he's the captain, he will start. Then there is maybe a competition between Giroud and Akanji. For me, it's a no-brainer. It's Akanji who should play there. Fabian Schär is the other central defender. And then on the left, as left back, is Ricardo Rodriguez. I would personally prefer that Denis Zakaria plays in defensive midfield, but it's probably against Brazil. It will probably be Wallon Berami because he's experienced and he's a good ball winner, and he can lay off the ball to Xhaka and does distribution. Xhaka is in front of Berami or Zakaria. Then it will be probably Tchemaili in the most attacking role in midfield. On the right wing is Shaqiri, who can cut inside with his left foot. On the left wing, it will be Mehmedi, who can cut inside with his right foot. And central striker, at this moment, it looks like it will be Seferovic, but I hope Embolo will be fit and can play in this role, because he's also a guy who can produce those magic moments with his dribbling ability.
Now, I do have one more player question before we look ahead and with your expectations, but Stefan Lichtsteiner obviously has seen his time diminished at Juventus with other players coming into the fold here. Is this a benefit for him, being that he's 34 years old, captain of the team, and usually somebody that really plays a high-paced match, getting up and down the right side of the pitch? Is this kind of in hindsight, a good thing for Stefan Lichtsteiner?
I think so. I think so. I think his time in at Juventus prolonged his career a bit. He's also very important for another reason. He's captain for another reason. He speaks French, he speaks Italian, he speaks German. And we have four national languages, that is French, German, and Italian, plus Romansh, which is a language spoken by maybe 20,000 people. So he's some kind of connection between all those players who speak different languages. I think at the World Cup, we are the only nation with more than two national languages. We usually are. So he's very important in that regard. This might be his last tournament. He said he wants to continue afterwards, but we have talented young right backs coming after him, after his post. We have Michael Lang, who's good at Basel, and we have Kevin Mbabu from Young Boys, who's at 21 years old and on the verge of making it into the national team. So he's a little bit hunted from younger players, but he's crucial to this team in terms of off the pitch and on the pitch. And I think that this time at Juve, really, that running up and down the line has prolonged his career a bit.
And he's really a man of the people. He's representative of the people, being able to speak all the different languages that we find in Switzerland. So
yes.
I do want to ask you a final question. I'd like a couple final questions. Looking forward to what this World Cup would mean for this team, I want to start out by asking, what would be a reasonable expectation for this Swiss team, given the difficult group that they're in, with two matches up front that are really difficult, plus a last match which could be very unpredictable for them? What's the reasonable expectation for this team in this World Cup?
If all goes well, round of the last 16. Problem is there that the second place team of this group faces probably Germany. If Switzerland can win this group, they face Sweden and I don't know the other two teams, but
Mexico, South Korea.
In this case, probably Mexico, I think. So those are tough games. If we come in second, if we face Germany, then I think it's over. Then round of the last 16 is the realistic target. But the Swiss Football Federation has already said that we're aiming high and going for quarterfinals, which will be tough. But my expectation is we reach the round of the last 16, probably in a very dramatic fashion, as we always do. And then it's over. But I think that's a realistic expectation.
Now, let's say perchance this team does get by, whether they win the group or come in second in Group E, advance past a German side and manage to lift the trophy on the final day. What would that mean for the people of Switzerland?
I don't know. We're not known for party people. But I think the whole country will freak out. We have those public gatherings where we watch matches together. They're everywhere in Switzerland. They're huge, usually visited by hundreds of fans. And I think it will be one giant party, but I've never thought about it, to be honest, because I don't expect it.
Well, on this show, we dare to dream, that's for sure. So,
yeah, that's all right.
Gentlemen, I do want to thank you both for joining me tonight to break down the Swiss national team as they head to the 2018 World Cup. So, again, this week in football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. This was your Swiss preview. I am your host, Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening, and good night.